SCDC is taking over this sort of the mission of trying to, I don't know if create is the right word, but you're trying to promote affordable housing or develop housing in Sitka that will sustain, you know, young families, young working people. But is there a formal definition of affordable housing that you guys work off of?
Well, actually, there's several formal definitions depending on what group you're working with. You know, HUD, for instance, has one definition. Community Land Trust, the national organizations, the land trust organizations have a different definition. So, but essentially what it boils down to is anyone who's paying more than like a quarter to a third of their monthly income for housing is considered to be in an area that has high housing costs.
Okay.
And we're one of pretty much nearly the highest in Alaska.
Yeah. Everybody, I think, has heard that expression, house poor. You know, I'm house poor. And people right now, I know some, I'm sure you do too, pay more than half their income. It takes more than one paycheck to cover their housing expenses.
Right. I think one thing that's important to define too is that it goes more than just your mortgage payment or your rent. It also includes what your utilities are, both heating and electric, and of course water, which isn't too much of an issue here, water and sewage, but it's that whole number combined. So, you know, if you're renting a large, inefficient place, you know, you probably have higher rent, plus you're going to have much higher utilities. It's going to be higher to heat it. It's going to be, you know, more money to just to run your household. And so efficiency is also part of the element, but it's not one that we're particularly focused on at this point. We're trying to stick to a strategic plan so that it's 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. And then, you know, we have other goals that are parallel, but they're not our particular focus at this point, just to keep from getting distracted.
Right. So, Paul, we got all fired up about this same topic in 2005, 2006. I see we even had an office for affordable housing with Felix Ah Young was its manager. I remember Felix. He was quite the dynamo. And a lot of plans were generated, a lot of reports were made, but somehow we just never quite got to pull the trigger on anything. What's your board's sense of why that effort didn't come to fruition?
Well, I think it's more than just a sense. When you get down to the particulars of what happened, you know, the city was very interested in the topic. They brought in Felix. We spent city money to develop a plan. The major rug pulling that happened with that was the change in federal funding. The company that was at the forefront of developing the plans for what was then the city shops land, which was the primary focus, the thing that actually got the closest to happening. And they lost the tax credits that they would have gained by doing this project, which basically made it a losing proposition for them. And then the whole thing sort of came tumbling down at that point. So, you know, a change in the federal structure of the support for this kind of project was basically what happened. All the plans were laid out according to that structure. And once that structure collapsed, the plan was no longer pertinent.
And everybody knew that was a risk at the time. The developer develops these kinds of projects on the assumption that there's going to be these federal, that you apply for and receive federal tax credits. And it is a bit of a gamble because there's no guarantee. But were the tax credits denied because the project was poor, or was it just bad luck of the draw?
It was bad luck. It was just poor timing. It wasn't a reflection of that particular project. It was a change of policy on the federal level. So, you know, there was nothing to be done at that point. I mean, other than trying to lobby the federal government to change the policy back to the way it was, but that would have been a more costly and energy expenditure. So, what we did coming out of that group is, you know, it literally left the people that were interested in affordable housing reeling for quite a few years in town.
Because there was no plan B, really.
There was no plan B. That's right. And so in an effort to come to plan B, SCDC was formed a couple years after that happened. And we applied, got nonprofit status, and then, you know, started researching as lay people. Felix, who was the professional that the city and borough had hired, was very knowledgeable about these programs. He was very knowledgeable about other programs across the country and across the world, actually. But the people, I wasn't involved at that point, but, you know, the research basically had to start again from ground zero. And after several years of meandering around, trying to find out what the right programs were, how they worked, and as, you know, as lay people, the policies that are involved in, especially some of the federal programs, are enormous. And those have continued to change as well, which has made things more complicated.
All right. So nothing has really changed in Sitka since 2006, has it? I mean, the need for affordable housing hasn't in any way been affected by a change in market forces or a change in our labor demographics or anything. If anything, where do you see the problem now? Is it as acute as it was back in 2005 and 2006?
Oh, I think it's as acute, if not more acute. Interestingly enough, I was getting my hair cut a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to my barber about the subject, and his comment was, he's like, if I could just get the assembly to come in here and sit here for a week and hear how many people come in and say, I've been coming here for years, this is my last haircut, we're moving out of town, trying to go someplace more affordable. You know, and to me, that's the classic colloquial reflection. Be like, you know, the writing's on the wall. During the economic summit that CETA held last year, their number one focus coming out of that was affordable housing. And, you know, you say, well, what does affordable housing have to do with economic development? But the fact of the matter is if you're losing good workers, they're going out of town, especially, you know, entry-level workers or, you know, mid-level, mid-range management workers, and you're having a hard time filling those positions, it's hard to run an efficient company or an efficient organization or whatever it is you're hiring those people to do. So it is an economic issue. As can be well seen, you know, in other parts of the country, there's very similar communities to ours that have had this exact same problem. And a community land trust has worked to alleviate some of this problem in some of those communities. The Orcas Island one is the one that jumps out the most at me. Opal Land Trust there is one of the oldest in the country, and it's been one of the most successful. And other communities that share a lot of similar traits to Sitka, which the major one being a very large gap between median housing and basically the highest income housing. We have a lot of properties here that are very, very expensive. We don't have a proportional amount of properties that are, I don't want to use the word inexpensive, but I'll use the word affordable. And making that mix work is difficult when you don't have bedroom communities. In most places, if a community has high property values, the people that work the service industry in those towns live in a bedroom community where the property is more affordable. Here, that's not an option. And so it's a hurdle. And, you know, the economic summit, which is basically the business leaders of town coming together, for them to come together and recognize that affordable housing is a major issue in the economic development. I mean, that's the future. Where are we going with Sitka? The economic state of Sitka. That really speaks a lot because those business leaders are the ones that directly see the effect on the day-to-day basis of losing those people from town. You know, anyone who's a manager who's lost people for that reason, or they have a hard time filling positions, they understand completely. I mean, I don't want to go too into detail, but I've even talked to the administrators of the school district, and they told me that they, when they look advertise for teachers, they actually look for teachers that are both teachers, you know, that are couples that are teachers, because it's easier for them to move here and be able to afford to live here rather than one having to try and find a job in their field. It just simplifies everything. So, you know, it affects everything from the service industry to government to our schools. You know, it's a pertinent issue. And even though we usually see it as a polar issue, it really isn't. One thing affects the other constantly.
Paul, one last thing I have for you, and I'm going to be talking about sort of the mechanism and definition of a CLT with another board member and another interview, but you're mentioning business leaders and how easy it is when you are in the situation of having employees and maintaining staff, when you know that they're struggling to find a place to live, an affordable place to live. There's also sort of a flip side to that, that I think there is a resistance, and there might have been in the initial plan at Old City Shops, an initial resistance to the idea of tampering with market forces. How does a CLT, you know, necessarily without going into the detail how a CLT works, but are you comfortable that CLTs can be, you know that you can make the sale here in this community, because people are sensitive to the fact that we do have high property values, there is tight demand for housing, and in some ways it benefits some of the same people we're talking about who also, you know, see the bad side too. How do you sort of balance it all?
Well, that's an interesting question. And part of the process that we're going through right now is we are fundraising to hire a consultant, and it's a nationwide consulting firm, and Community Land Trust is exactly what they do. And we had representatives attend a couple of national conferences on community land trusts, and they recommended this particular firm. They've been involved with a lot, dozens upon dozens upon dozens of land trusts across the country. And when their representative came, he's a gentleman named Mike Brown, and he met with the Chamber of Commerce here. He did a work session with the Assembly, and he also met with our board. And during the meeting with our board, that was one of the particular questions that I asked him, you know, how does it impact, and, you know, and how do you express to people how it impacts? Because one of the biggest concerns that people come with is they think that for some reason it's going to lower their property value. And the way that he explained it to me, and this made a lot of sense to me, is he said, you're not lowering a rung or raising a rung. He's like, you're creating a rung in between two that already exist. And he said that it actually strengthens the housing market because it creates more buyers quicker. For a lot of people, these would be a starter home for maybe a young couple. So they can buy a house on a land trust and build some equity in it, build some credit by being involved in the program and owning their own home. And it puts them in a position to buy a house on the open market much quicker than it would if they were renting. Because if they were renting, all of their money is going towards the rent, where while they're actually, they own their own house. Their house happens to be on the land trust, so they actually build equity. And that equity allows them, it slingshots them into further up the housing market than they would be if they couldn't get into buying their own house. So it's a strong leg up program. And because the structure of the community land trust keeps that house on that land affordable for the next person, it's a formula that it's self-perpetuating. And, you know, that'll get expanded on in later, in some later interviews, it sounds like. But I'm very confident that the formula works. It's tried and true across the country and even across the world. And you really can't argue with the numbers. It, you know, the number of foreclosure is almost zero on community land trusts. It's literally like a fraction of what it is in the open market for foreclosures. The success rate is just impossible to argue with. It's when you look at the model. So, there has been some places where it hasn't worked. But there are the places that are most similar to us, it's been in very, very successful. So, we're really confident that this is a good plan for Sitka. And I think that once we get the details out there, people are going to get really excited about it.